Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. James Edwards, Winston Smith here with you. Tonight, we're neck deep in the Political Cesspool as we continue on in our interview with Dr. Thomas Szasz, an interview that's getting more and more captivating by the minute. Dr. Szasz, let me ask you this as we continue on with the previous line of questioning about the government's role in psychiatry. How is the drug war, or the so-called war on drugs, integral with government's hold of psychiatry and the therapeutic state?
Well, that's a perfect question. Thank you. I'm surprised. I didn't think of that earlier, or you didn't. Because the drug war is, after all, a war on a disease. Taking a drug is called, unless it's prescribed by a physician, is called a mental illness, called drug abuse and addiction.
Right.
That's it. Now, what makes it an illness? Smoking was 30, 40 years ago. I'm almost 90 years old, so I remember doctors used to advertise cigarettes. President Reagan advertised cigarettes. Now it's a mental illness. Well, what more does anybody want to see? That this is complete bogus.
It's a never repeating cycle, right, Winston? I mean,
it is.
We're at war with drugs, but yet the government's using psychiatry to continue to keep people doped up.
This is human history, exactly. They want to dope people with the drugs they want people to use, not the one people choose to use. About 10, 15 years ago, I coined two terms which are becoming more widely used. One is a therapeutic state, which I formed on the analogy to the theological state. After all, let us recall what was the United States of America founded on. What's the First Amendment about? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Well, why did we need freedom of religion? Because the Europeans didn't have it.
That's right.
Now, instead of a theological state, you have a therapeutic state.
Well, define that precisely.
I'm sorry?
I said, if you don't mind, elaborate a little bit on that and define it more precisely.
I am coming to that.
Okay.
I have another term which describes it. We don't have a democracy anymore. We have a pharmacracy. We are regulated through what drugs we are allowed to use, what drugs we are forbidden to use, what drugs the government is pushing.
Winston?
Dr. Szasz, can we say that there is any difference between what our government is doing now and what the Chinese government did back before the Cultural Revolution and distributing opium to people?
Well, let's not go there because that's not quite what happened. The opium war, that's a very different kind of story in many ways. But there is some connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me only point out that actually the opium wars, these things are really become distorted by historical events. The opium war was actually a war which was waged by the British Empire,
yes,
which was a co-owner with the East India Company. And the Chinese had actually for centuries, by the 18th, 19th century, had forbidden the use of opium, and the British waged the war to make a free market in it. It's very ironic. It's very ironic, and look what we are now doing in Afghanistan. Now, why shouldn't they be able to grow poppy? We are growing wheat and potatoes and everything that you can make alcohol from.
Well, what is the solution for getting government out of medicine? You say that
there is
that
no
medicine...
solution at the moment because this is what people want. You see, you and I don't want this, and many libertarians don't want this. But everybody likes the idea that the government protects you from bad drugs. So that if the government says it's okay to take it, then it's okay to take it. Now, it's complete stupidity to believe the government.
Set tight with that. Just hold your thoughts, gentlemen. We're going to continue on right after this.
Plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back. Here we are again. Dr. Saz, I want to shift gears with you for just a moment as we begin to bring this interview to a conclusion. Got to ask you this while we have you on the line. What do you think of the insanity defense so popularized in movies? Should it be allowed in government courts, and would it be allowed in a free society?
It would not be allowed because there is no such thing as insanity. It's a legal term. That's why it's conducted in a court of law. It should not be allowed. Everybody should be held responsible for what they do, period. Nothing more to discuss.
What do you think about that, Winston? I know a lot of people think you're insane. Now, of course, I agree with Dr. Saz. That was a joke.
Yeah,
but it is a joke. Well, look, let's look at a practical case. How about John Hinckley?
Yeah?
Well, they say that schizophrenia is curable. Well, what is the government doing? Still curing him?
They're still curing. Yeah, what happened to the days when the government was just there to provide defense and build roads, Winston? They've got into a lot of enterprises since 1776.
Those days disappeared a long time ago.
By the way,
let me compliment you on the name of your show. The Political Cesspool is a perfect term.
And
in the middle of the cesspool is psychiatry. Psychiatry is the core of the cesspool.
I like it when we have guests on who compliment the name. I think we've had Sam Dixon's going to be very annoyed tonight. Every time I talk to Sam, he says we've got to rename the show. But, but thank you, Dr. Soss, for that compliment. And Winston, I know you wanted to chime in on the insanity defense argument.
Well, not so much that, but I did want to ask Dr. Soss about psychiatry as a pseudoscience. Dr. Soss, other illnesses are defined and diagnosed in accordance with specific criteria based upon scientific observation and experimentation, but not psychiatry. Is your opposition to government involvement in psychiatry based upon psychiatry being totally subjective?
No, it is not based on that totally, but it is based on that partially. Because you see, this gets complicated, but it's not that complicated. If it was objective, it wouldn't exist. You see, we are now getting into the difference. What's the difference between mental illness and brain disease?
Mm-hmm.
The official psychiatric line is that mental illness is brain disease. Well, that's a lie, because if it was brain disease, it would be treated by neurologists.
Well, let me ask you this, in terms of perhaps a positive resolution with regard to all of this, and I think we're all three in agreement on a lot of issues here with regards to this subject, but in your opinion, Dr. Soss, will involuntary psychiatry and the alliance of medicine and the state always be with us, or do you think that the aggression inherent in institutional psychiatry can ever be severed?
Look, we are talking about long time frames. The world existed for thousands of years, up until the 17th, 18th century, it's only 300 years, without psychiatry. There was ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, ancient Rome. The Middle Ages, there was no psychiatry. Of course it's going to disappear when people get fed up with it. It's going to take probably 500 years.
But it could happen. So, we've had so many problems, Winston.
It will happen.
That's very interesting, Dr. Soss, because we've had psychiatry now for 150 years thereabouts, and what good has come of it?
There was no psychiatry in the days of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
In my public lectures, I like to refer people to Macbeth, Lady Macbeth. If you read that story, in that play. Is declared to be insane. She hallucinates, blood on her hand, and so on. She has a bad conscience. Nobody gets locked up. There are no insane asylums. In Hamlet, nobody gets locked up.
Why not? Because there are no places for it yet. We've had psychiatry now for a century and a half. Our psychiatrists have been practically deified. Deified and also vilified. They become something like priests, and yet, for all of their veneration, for all their exaltation, what good have they given us?
The similarity to religion is not really quite close. Some psychiatrists who deal with people who want their help sometimes help people. You can help people by giving them the right medication or by talking to them intelligently. What did the ministers, priests, the rabbis do? Psychotherapy, counseling. That was a regular. That was called ministering. Mm-hmm. Look at all these terms. Wonderful English terms. You minister to a person. That mm-hmm. means you put him on the right path of life by appropriate counseling. That can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's done by a minister or a priest or a psychologist or psychiatrist or by a neighbor or a parent.
If it's done by a minister, don't some psychiatrists, including many in the American Psychiatric Association, see religion itself and ministers of religion as some sort of neurosis or some sort of mental illness itself?
Yes, in a way they do, but not in so many words.
Mm.
See, they are attentive to public opinion. They certainly don't call religion a mental illness. They don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But they call essentially what are religious phenomena, mental illnesses, in particular, having a bad conscience. If you have a bad conscience, then you feel guilty. Well, you ought to feel guilty.
Yeah, that's not mental illness. That's a natural reaction to
well,
being
that's
a dirtball.
What you and I say, natural reaction. Supposing you are depressed because you don't know what to do with yourself. Your husband left you. You don't have enough money. They call that an illness. Look, once you call it an illness, you get all kinds of benefits. The government now pays you for being ill.
Well, so all sorts of problems. You know,
they have a vested interest in creating all these illnesses to keep the income flowing.
There it is.
But you have to have an illness in order to collect disability.
There you go. And there, I think, is the root of it all. I mean, absolutely.
Well,
you know,
of course, money is. Look at all the veterans who are coming back. 50% are supposed to have traumatic neurosis. And now the papers are full of stories how soldiers with a traumatic neurosis, post-traumatic stress disorder, now it's called, does not get a purple heart. Well, of course he doesn't get a purple heart. He's not been wounded. A mental wound is like a cutting remark. It doesn't draw any blood.
Mm-hmm. You know, see, Winston, that's what we're talking about. We dedicate this program to trying to bring truth to the airwaves against all sorts of problems. Now we're informing people of a problem that perhaps they didn't even know existed, the problem with state-sponsored psychiatry and the therapeutic state in and of itself. Of course, that's a term that Dr. Saz himself...
Thank you for asking me, because people don't know about this, because there are very few programs who want to discuss this.
Well, people need to be aware, you know, and like I said, we're here, we've broadcast over 800 shows over the course of the past 8 years, or 4 years, and we try to talk about it all. We try to enlighten people on the issues that we're known for, or signature issues, such as, you know, the regular political issues, I guess you would say, immigration, foreign policy, trade,
But most people look at NBC, ABC, or the regular stations.
Well, they're not going to hear this topic spoken on those networks. And so
no,
that's
because
what I think
psychiatry
separates...
is considered to be medicine. There's a complete denial that has any political connotations or implications.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Saz, because I certainly don't want to run out of time before I afford you this opportunity to let people know where they can learn more of your work. And I want to thank you again for being with us tonight. I think Winston and I could extend this for the rest of the program, but alas, we do have other guests and topics that we just have to get to. But before I ask you this final question in summation, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your evening, your weekend, to be with us.
Well, you are very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Anytime, and you're more than welcome to rejoin us. But at last count, I believe, if my research is correct, you have authored some 32 books and are continuing to go strong. You author columns for the Foundation for Economic Education. Where else can our listeners find out more about your work, and where do you intend to go from here?
Well, I am 89 years old almost, so I'm going to go to the grave.
If I'm as spry as you are at 89, I will be most grateful.
But I have another book coming out in the fall, and I have a website. You just have to type in my last name, actually, and you'll get to the website even without anything else. You'll have to know how to spell my name, which is S-S-Z-A-S-Z, an unusual Hungarian name. It's not unusual in Hungary, but it's unusual in English.
It's unusual in Tennessee, that's for sure. But, folks, we encourage you to go check it out. It's good stuff. If this is an issue that interests you, and certainly it did us, or else we wouldn't be talking about it tonight. And, again, Dr. Saz, thank you so much for being on with us. Best to you and the next 90 years of your life. And if there's anything we can do to help, you just let us know, all right?
I let you know.
You take care, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You too. We'll talk to you later, Winston. If you've got that much of a spring in your step when you're an octogenarian, I'll knock you loose. I'll be jealous.
Well, we can all hope.
89 years old and still that lucid and with that much energy. I knew he was in his 80s, but 89, almost 90.
I would not have guessed had I not. Looked at his bio and saw that he was born in 1920, you know?
We certainly have to salute Dr. Saz, if for nothing else, for fighting the good fight for all those years in this trenches. Again, Dr. Saz, have a great night, and thank you again for joining us. Hey, Winston, switching gears now, if I can find my notes. What an interesting topic. What an interesting subject, man. I don't know if we have enough time to get into another issue, so I'll tell you what we'll do. No, we don't. We got to go to break. So we'll pick it up right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Only a brief 5-minute segment here before we welcome on our second and final guest for the evening. A little top heavy on guests tonight. We have two guests booked for essentially an hour each, but we're going to have some time at the end of the program tonight to cover a couple of vast and varied topics. But before we get into the next little quirky story I have for you tonight, I want to remind you to check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Join our email list. A lot of features there available for you at our website. You can join the debate with other listeners of this program on our online forum. You can take a look at our guest list, and I guarantee you will find a plethora of men and women of whom you will be impressed with that have been on our program over the course of the last few years. And any name you see, they're going to be readily available, I should say, in our broadcast archives dating back to 2004. So that's available at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Some of my interviews on CNN. You can donate to us. God, that'd be fun. We'd enjoy it. Help keep this show on the air. All that and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Well, Winston, I got to ask you a question. Is it a crime to get a seventh grader pregnant?
Only for white people.
You must have read the blog.
What blog? I don't read that.
Everything
garbage.
We talk about
stuff. That stuff's offensive.
Everything we talk about on this program is documented with links in our blog, which is also available at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But here's the story. As Winston is right, apparently it's only a crime to get a seventh grader pregnant if you are a European American. When minorities do it, it's ignored or even celebrated. Black girls, for instance, under 17, are constantly having babies, many of them by adult men, and yet we never hear about the fathers going to jail for statutory rape. And we found an article in the Dallas Morning News about some of the first-born babies this year in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The actual first-born baby in Dallas this year came from a 15-year-old mother who got knocked up by a grown man. And this, which I'm about to read, comes directly from the pages of the Dallas Morning News. The first baby at Dallas's Parkland Memorial Hospital arrived on New Year's Day at 12:16 a.m. Justin Daniel Ramirez was born to a Dallas 8th grader, Fernanda Rios, 15, who couldn't stop smiling as she cradled her newborn son in her arms. I was nervous at first about what my mom would say, but I told her I would try my best, and she said okay, quote unquote. Fernanda will take 6 weeks off from school and will be homeschooled while she gets to know her son. She said her mother and cousin will help raise him, along with the boy's father, who is 20, who also lives with her mother. Okay, so anyway, recap here, Winston. She's 15 and in the 8th grade. So when she got pregnant, she was probably 14 and in the 7th grade. Either way, 14 or 15, this is supposed to be a crime. And yet, not only is the father not being investigated, the Dallas Morning News is celebrating it. So that brings me to my two questions for you, Winston. Why is the man not in jail? And why is the Dallas Morning News still in business?
He's not in jail, James, because this sort of behavior is considered normal for that culture. You can't put people in jail just for exercising their cultural prerogatives. But like you write at the very beginning, if this were a white couple, that guy would already be in jail or dead if the girl's father didn't do his duty and get a hold of him and wring his neck first.
Well, you know, and Winston, speaking of, I don't mean to cut you off, but you're of course you're right, and that goes without saying, but there is actually a show now on the Disney Channel called The Secret Life of the American Teenager, and it's basically talks about, just makes it fashionable to be a high school mother, and it talks about a high school girl who gets pregnant. And it's just all well and good. It's a celebration. And, of course, that kind of goes into the perverse role that the media plays in cultivating our consciousness, I guess. And we know who controls the media. And that's a story for another day. But this is, I think, very, very – well, it happens
it's absolutely surreal to read this. Listen.
Well, thank God, and we've been celebrating the fact that a lot of these newspapers, including our very own Commercial Appeal, are really on life support, and so God willing and Jesus tarries, they will all be out of business soon enough, but not a moment too soon. But Winston, you get the final word.
This is surreal to read this. This is a schoolgirl, and look what we're writing about her. Fernanda will take 6 weeks off school and will be homeschooled while she gets to know Justin, her baby. This schoolgirl is being, well, as you said, she's being celebrated, and she is a schoolgirl.
Now, the Dallas Morning News didn't write anything about the obvious fact that she's underage, well underage. They're just celebrating the fact that this was the first. It's just, well, it's ridiculous. I guess this would be the ridiculous item of the day if this was the O'Reilly factor. But then again, it's not so ridiculous.
Well, apparently, this guy, the weasel who got this schoolgirl pregnant, apparently he lives in the house with that girl's mother and her. So doesn't that mother bear some sort of complicity in this? We go back to what I said at the beginning. This is considered normal behavior for mestizo culture. This is what they do.
Gotta go to break, Winston. The only thing is, it's going to be normal for American culture soon because we are fast becoming the minority and they are fast becoming the majority. Just one more thing to look forward to, everybody. We'll be back right after this.
77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. Still Saturday, January 10th. We're still here. Hey, listen, everybody, we're going to open up the phone lines now. I know... We had opened up the phone lines for a couple of minutes at the top of the program. Then we had shut them off while we were interviewing Dr. Saz. So we always enjoy taking phone calls from our listeners and fans around the country. So we want to reopen those lines right now. If you want to give us a call, give us a call. You can talk about anything you want. A little open mic time in the cesspool for a little bit. 1-800-313-9443. Be on the line with James Edwards and Winston Smith. 1-800-313-9443. Winston, I got another quick story here for you along the lines of the last one where we were covering the seventh grade pregnancy. This one actually a little bit more silly if it weren't so serious. It's about bed bugs. Now, you tell me when the last time a syndicated radio program talked about bed bugs.
We take on all subjects with no retreat, no surrender, no apologies.
We prove it every night, don't we? I mean, we're serious about this. Anyway, here's the story. Out of Cincinnati... well, I'm going to read. Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. Let's go ahead and do the story. In this Ohio city, and I'm reading directly from the story, in this Ohio city, it seems it's really tough to stop the bed bugs from biting. And I'm reading actually from a Cincinnati newspaper. When complaints about the blood-sucking insects first trickled into Cincinnati's public health department 3 years ago, officials assumed it was an anomaly, or perhaps the overactive imagination of what's it saying here? People who
aliens.
Are immigrantophobic, I guess, is what they're trying to say. After all, bed bugs had all but vanished here. But the trickle of complaints had grown into a flood, the story continues. A recent public survey found that one in every six people has had run-ins with the biting bugs over the course of the last 12 months in Cincinnati. One out of every six, Winston. Dozens of fire stations in Cincinnati have had to dump furniture or even remove their entire living quarters and have it exterminated because firefighters unknowingly brought the eggs of the bed bugs in on their boots or pant legs. Assisted living complexes have spent tens of thousands of dollars on pest control companies because, the thinking goes, visitors may have carried in the bugs on their purses or bags. Okay, now this was actually the Los Angeles Times that reported this. There it is. Of course, as you know, Winston, the LA Times has never mentioned the number one reason for bed bugs, which had, of course, virtually disappeared from America. Why? What is? Okay, I'll go ahead and ask it to you. What's the number one reason bed bugs are making a reemergence in America? Everybody knows it, but the LA Times will never report it. The political cesspool will. What's your guess?
Racism. of course not. It's immigration. It's illegal immigrants bringing these things into the country.
And you know, it's not just that. I mean, you know, Eddie Miller, one of our co-hosts here, is a registered nurse, or was, and was a combat medic, in fact, so he has a lot of medical expertise. And you don't have to be a nurse to have firsthand knowledge of this. Everyone knows it to be true. All of these, you know, tuberculosis, all of these diseases, and including bed bugs now, another one of the joys of diversity and the multicultural experiment that has become the United States of America. But that being said, we've got our guest on the line now, and we're thankful for that. Mark Stevens, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Well, thank God for saving us. We thank God for you having saved us there. We were treading water. But we have bed bugs to talk about. But nevertheless, thank you for joining us tonight. And if people are wondering who Mark Stevens is, he is a radio talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. The No State Project, the name of his program. Mr. Stevens is also the author of the 2002 book, Adventures in Legal Land, an examination of the legal and political systems of the United States. So, Mr. Stevens, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored to be on, especially with the list of guests you've had previous and tonight.
Yeah, no, we do our best. We do our best. And tonight, you know, a couple of inaugural interviews here in the political cesspool with you making your first appearance. We always like to broaden our ever-evolving guest list. And thank you for the compliment.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to be on.
Well, that being said, let's start with the very beginning. In addition to being an author and a talk radio host, you have also spent some time as a law consultant and a lecturer. How did that come about?
It started where, you know, I had some bad experiences back on Long Island. I know who would have thought. And I just started learning more and more about the legal system, and I was helping people out here in Phoenix, and just started helping friends win some cases. It just kind of went from there. Kind of word got around. I started working with some other people, and now 10 years later, still doing that.
Well, Winston, it'd always be good to have a lawyer on retainer. And that's one of the things the guest list gives you access to. You never know who you're gonna find. Mr. Stevens,
please call me Mark.
All right, we're on a first name basis. That's the Southern way, right, Winston?
It is. We do that. Of course, we always prefix first names with Mr. or Ms.
Mr. Winston. All right, Mark, anyway, you had an article entitled "Who Really Hates Our Freedom?" And I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people hate us. So, in your opinion, who actually does hate our freedoms?
Anybody who does not deal with you on a voluntary take-it-or-leave-it basis hates your freedom.
That's interesting. That's a far more interesting answer. And you do have that radio voice. And the other times, Winston, you know, that we've had fellow hosts on, they're always so intriguing. And they give you answers that aren't textbook right out of the box answers. Interesting answers. Would you care to elaborate, Mark?
Well, that to me, you got to strip away all the political labels. You listen to any mainstream type of thing, it's always the same stupid right-left paradigm, the liberals are all insane, or the Republicans are all insane. And so if you just look at the actions that people are taking, and don't put the Islamic fascism crap in there and all this, you take the labels away and look at what they're actually doing. And that's what I just try to distill everything down to the facts. Anyone who hates your freedom will not deal with you on a voluntary basis. So it doesn't matter if it's George Bush or it's the local dog catcher.
Well, being a talk radio host, undoubtedly you have talked and researched just about every issue. So our interview with you is going to be a little different than that which we had with Dr. Saz earlier, in which he was a specialist in a certain field. But it was interesting that I believe you have gone on record with a certain element that we did cover in the interview with him earlier, and that being the drug war. In your opinion, and I think we asked him this very same question, how is the drug war a scam?
Wow, that's a big can of worms. Yeah, well, it's a scam for any number of reasons. One, that if you look, governments are just a gang of killers, thieves, and liars, and everything they say is a lie or a half-truth at best. And just the name itself, the drug war, it's an armed battle against plants, when it's not. It's actually an armed attack against people who use those plants in a way that others, you know, don't like. We usually call them government, but to me they're just a gang of psychopaths. So it's a lie right from the start, the drug war. It's a war against people who use drugs. And this whole idea that government is there to protect you, which is one of the basis of the book and a lot of what I do, no, they're not. So when you look at their own public relations called laws or statutes, they tell you right there the government's not there to protect you. So that's another lie, that the drug war is to protect anybody.
It seems as though we've been covering this issue a lot lately. I'm thinking back on some of the programs we've hosted over the last few months here, and we've had some recurring guests on to talk about this. And it is a big issue. But again, with you, Mark, being a fellow talk radio host, our interview is going to be kind of hodgepodge, because I want to pick your brain on a couple of different issues and get some personal insight as well for our listening audience. Another thing that I guess is related to all of this is libertarianism, and I believe you would identify yourself as a libertarian. How did that come about?
Well, I had started out, like a lot of people, as just a small government Republican, and you start to see all the... This is going back now, guys. and I met some people out here in Phoenix where, my wife was actually a member of the Libertarian Party before I was a Libertarian. I'm not a member of the party, and I don't vote.
Right.
There were just certain things that people would bring up, like my wife and some friends that were Libertarians, that you could not explain with the typical staunch Republican, small government mindset, like the drug war, for example. You can't... this whole thing is supposed to be about individual liberty and justice and limited government and rugged individualism. And how did that square with somebody smoking pot? Not that I advocate any of that. That's not important. I couldn't square that. So the more I started investigating, the more the philosophy of individual liberty had to take precedent over what the government was doing. So if there was a contradiction, it always should be resolved in favor of liberty, because that's what it was supposed to all be about.
Well, that's interesting, and it sets me up for a perfect follow-up question, because you mentioned both libertarianism and the hypothetical or wishful-thinking small government republicanism. What did you think of the Ron Paul quote-unquote revolution this year, and should it be kept going? Can it be kept going? Can a group of people who rallied behind a certain presidential candidate continue on effectively without that sort of, operation at hand? I mean, can they keep going without a set goal in front of them?
You know, I had a lot of people that called the show because I was very, very straightforward with that, and that I did not support Ron Paul as a candidate, and that there were other issues that he was very, very... And I wrote an article for that was on Strike Through and on my website about more propaganda from Dr. Paul and why he's always featured on certain websites like LouRockwell.com, which is anti-state, anti-war, pro-free market. Why they would have Ron Paul on there, it just totally it makes absolutely no sense because he is a statist. He's not anti-state. And what I had gotten from a number of group leaders, so I guess the meetup people who had organized a lot of stuff with the Ron Paul thing, was that the people who were, and this is not everybody, but in their opinion, based on experience with people, that the people who were following were followers. They needed someone to lead them. And anybody, in my experience, anybody who's looking for somebody else to give them freedom is not in the right frame of mind. Their thinking is totally wrong. And the thing that Ron, you know, it's like Ernie Hancock, who's a famous, you know, popular libertarian out here. If you think that by voting you're going to get freedom, you haven't been paying attention. It doesn't work that way. You don't ask the Mazda for freedom.
That's pretty interesting, and I think you're on to something. You know, because I struggle with this myself. I fully believe in my heart that voting is an exercise of futility because I have no faith at all that any of the votes are counted accurately. But yet I still go and vote every election day, and I still haven't voted for anyone who's ever won. You know, so what, you know, what do we do?
Well, I want to just, I do want to make clear that I've always applauded the networking that the people supporting Ron Paul did because they
it was amazing to watch. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. Never before have I seen such a grassroots uprising that was relatively effective. I mean, I saw more Ron Paul signs in the states that I visited during the early primary season than anyone else. In fact, probably all the other Republicans combined, and that took some effort.
Yeah, I saw Ron Paul signs in Yermo, California, and if anyone's familiar with that stretch of highway, you know that's remote.
And look at the money he was able to raise. And I'm talking about, this is a guy who raises money off $25 and $50 donations.
Yeah, I would like to see the energy put forth into not a candidate, but no candidate. That I had written an article, if you really want to get their attention, instead of a money bomb, you do a voter bomb, and you get, you know, so the idea was if all the people who supported Ron Paul on one particular day, like let's say November 5th or something like that, all simultaneously mailed in a postcard to the county elections board to be taken off the voter rolls.
I'd say now you're hitting on something that I think I was trying to allude to in the question I botched earlier. And that is, people always seem to rally around a candidate for an election, but yet you can't get people to organize and rally with the same efficiency when it comes to issue advocacy organizations or initiatives such as the one you just mentioned there. And it just doesn't seem to happen, and I'm wondering why.
Well, I think it goes back to what these group leaders, or people who had helped support Ron Paul, some of the organizers told me that they're followers. They're looking to be told what to do. Voting is easy.
I think you're right. I think you're onto something.
It's just like what you mentioned earlier, that you still go down and vote. The idea, at this particular time with the people who follow Ron Paul, it is too radical an idea for them at this point to have their names taken off the voter registration rolls. Even though it's probably one of the it could potentially be one of the most effective political messages ever sent. It's like a big, hey, screw you. We're not participating in your stupid little system anymore. We're on to you guys.
Yeah, because no matter who wins, we lose anyway. I mean, there's no chance of winning.
Well, yeah, and my friend Ernie Hancock, I know I go back to him, but you know, he says, I know who's going to win every election before it ever takes place. The government.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. That's for sure.
Yeah, you always know who's going to win, and that's one of the lot that I talk about is that it's a false choice. It doesn't matter even if Ron Paul won. The fact is, you don't have a choice in whether you're going to have that protection or not, and that's where the problem comes in. So just okay, so you picked a new slave master for the next 4 years. Okay,
and the new boss is always the same as the old boss.
There you go. The who sang it best. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's the same system with a different figurehead.
Well, and again, it's a problem, you know, and obviously through radio we try to do our part, you do your part, and maybe at the end of the day we gains an inch of ground, but certainly not at the rate that our constitutional liberties and freedoms are being taken from us on a daily basis. And again, it is a problem that people will just get out there and work until they wear the soles out of their shoes for a candidacy, but yet they'll never get into the trenches without something like that to motivate them. And I think a lot of people, a lot of activists, are very short-sighted in that. And, you know, this is a war that we must be engaged in at all times, not just when you have a candidate running for a couple of months that you might have some common ground with. And so, anyway, Mark, I didn't even intend to chase that rabbit as far as we did, but since we got on the trail, that is something that I just, you know, I always wondered about, and you seem to have some perspective on it.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you talk about the trail, and it's something that regular listeners to my show and my book would just crucify
it. It's set tight, Mark. I hear our imaging coming up. We got to take a break. Don't mean to cut you off. We'll continue on right after this.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by his side.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're delighted to have Mark Stevens on with us. He is the second of two guests we have lined up for you tonight. A very enthralling first segment with Mark, and we continue on now. And as I mentioned, he, in addition to being an author and a radio host, has also had extensive experience in law and is a lecturer. So with that being the case, Mark, I got to ask you this question before I get sidetracked again, and it's easy for me to do. Why, in your opinion, being on the inside of this one, why are attorneys and bureaucrats always so non-responsive?
Oh, gosh. Wow. You're going to love it. I have some audio I'm going to post, and I just did a franchise tax board hearing, so-called, the other day. You'll get a great example of that, because they can't face the facts. They're nothing but a gang of killers, thieves, and liars, and if you stick to the facts, they cannot be responsive without giving up the whole scam. It's impossible. Which is, and that's basically what happened last week with the so-called hearing officer.
Well, would you consider the bar associations to be cult-like?
Absolutely, I wrote an article.
I know you did. That's why I asked. Continue on.
It absolutely follows the elements of a cult. Absolutely, government's probably one of the largest cults in the world. And it's closed. There's a people have said, man, why don't you just join the bar? And then this way, you could represent all your clients. Well, I'm not going to put my hand to the square and swear the little oath to these sickies. I don't want to be a part of that. Plus, even if I did go through all the trouble to do that, they had me just barred the first time I did it. And I know of what I speak because I used to work with an attorney, and she was disbarred. So, we speak from experience. But it is a cult. They pray to each other, for heaven's sakes.
Did you know that, Winston? See, we learn something every night we host this program. Not only do we educate our listening audience, we become educated.
I'm sorry. I knew exactly what Mark was talking about because I too have read Lysander Spooner.
Oh yes, Lysander Spooner. He was great in anything. Just do a Google search, read everything. But in England, they still pray to the Lord in court, the Lord Chancellor.
I never did think of it that way. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they don't call them lords here, but in England, Australia, New Zealand, and in Canada also, they still refer to the judges as lords. So when you pray for your relief, you have a prayer for relief here, but when in your prayer for relief, you are praying to the Lord. In the realm. That's sick.
That would be the Lord with a lowercase L, I guess, right, Winston?
No, with them, it's always an uppercase. It's got to be proper, so you pray to the Lord.
And he even gives you the accent to boot. Now, this is a good guest. Well, Winston, Mark's kind of like you. He knows everything. So ask a question. He'll be able to give you an answer.
Oh, you're doing a great job. I just got a message from somebody who said legal pleadings equal legal prayers. But, Mark, I think we should explain to people what we were talking about when I mentioned Lysander Spooner. Lysander Spooner was a libertarian.
Set tight, Winston. We're going to pick up with that. I got music in my ear. I got Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. So we got to take a break. That means break time. We'll be back right after this. Set tight, everybody.
Coming your way right after these messages.
Hello, my name is